Calling to Consciousness, exploring spiritual journeys to find answers in uncertainty.
What is up, conscious monkeys? Welcome back to another episode of Traveling to Consciousness. As always, I'm your host, Playing Terry. And obviously, I did not expect to be here today. However, here we are. So why am I here? Well, the Baltimore Bridge collapsed. And I realized I didn't think I was going to be something that I needed to weigh in on. However, Joe Biden decided to say some words that we'll get into here that made me realize that I could not take the whole week off and that I had to come to you guys and tell you guys my opinion on these things, which is an interesting thing for me, at least from my perspective, realizing that, hey, I can't just take weeks off of doing stuff, whether or not it's my birthday. So I'm very happy to be here. It's totally okay. Not complaining in any way, just a very interesting realization that I had there. So here I am. And what we're going to talk about today is I'm going to get into it about what happened. I'm going to tell you what happened, what the implications are from a federal level, and then even implications at a personal level and what this means worldwide. And then maybe some little theories kind of going on here, what may have happened in the dark that people aren't talking about. But anyhow, with all that being said, let's jump into it. So let's start off with what we know for sure. So if you haven't heard anything about this, the Baltimore Bridge collapsed, and it did not just randomly collapse. It actually was hit by a cargo ship, and a huge cargo ship at that. It says it was about 300 meters long, this cargo ship, about 300 meter long, which is about 985 feet, which is huge. That makes it massive. So even though it's moving at a slow speed, I think it was like 9 miles per hour, that's still a devastating amount of force to run into the pillar with. So let me just kind of go down here and reading this off of apnews.com. You can find the video online if you just look up Baltimore Bridge Collapse video. But essentially, the cargo ship issued a mayday call that the vessel had lost power, which is a very important key words right there, is that the vessel said they lost power moments before the crash, but the ship still ended up heading towards that thing, the what's the word it called, like a span, the poles, the placement, I think it's a span, which is like what holds the bridge up, that's like into the ground. Still headed towards the span at a very rapid speed. And of course it's 9 miles per hour, but for a ship that size, that's very fast. It takes a long time to slow that down. Kind of more on sad news, whenever it struck the span, I believe that's what it's called, the span, it broke the bridge, and you know, within seconds, the entire bridge fell into the water. It's really quite a feat to watch, just from this, just the size of this bridge falling into the water is just, for lack of a better word, marvelous to watch. The unfortunate news, as quickly as I say that, is that there were 6 construction workers that were filling potholes on the bridge, and they are presumed to be dead at this time. They haven't been found. There were 2 people rescued. I guess other people were near the bridge or had fallen in. So they were thankfully rescued. And some of the early reports are saying that there was an inspection of the Dolly, which is the cargo ship, last June, whenever it was in a port in Chile, and they identified a problem with the ship's propulsion and auxiliary machinery. But according to EQASIS, I'm assuming that's a shipping information system. Oh, it says right here, a shipping information system. Yeah. So this would be things that include stuff like gauges and thermometers. But the website didn't really go into too much more detail other than that. There are other reports that there was a recent inspection listed for the Dolly that was conducted by the U.S. Coast Guard whenever it was docked in New York. Said it was a standard examination. They didn't see anything wrong with it. So it's very fascinating. So there appears to not be anything wrong. Yet whenever it lost power, it seemed to gain speed. And if you watch the video, where it gets weird is if you lose power, and again, you know, I should preface this by saying that I am not a barge expert by any means whatsoever, But at the moment that they're claiming it lost power, you can see the barge turn and start turning towards that span that was holding up the bridge. So, again, given the position I'm going into, I can't elaborate. I have my own opinions of what may entail. And I saw many reports insinuating that it might be a cyber attack, that there was hijacking of the networks. Now, of course, again, I'm not trying to propose that that is what happened, because I don't know. I don't even know if those networks are connected somehow to a Wi-Fi or to an internet source. I don't know if there's some sort of malware that you could put on it. I know absolutely nothing about the technology that goes into those things. I'm just using this to report. This is just like a reporting thing. To me, just from what I watched, right, all the light, you see the lights go off and then it starts turning. So I don't know. To me, that could be a valid thing, that it was a cyber attack. And what piece of information that also may propel that theory, may give it some more legs, is that Maryland is going to be losing $15 million per day because they had to close down the entire port. Because I guess it's right next to a port. And so because of that, they had to completely close down the port, and it's going to cost them $15 million per day. On top of that, that's just Maryland. This is, you know, not all that food that's going into Maryland is going to stay in Maryland. It's going to go other places, right? So this could have supply chain issues, a link to it. And as we know, all of our food prices are rising, gas prices are rising. So who's to say that this couldn't add an increased value to that as well? And I already saw corporations jumping on it, saying that this was going to cause an increase in pricing, and it makes perfect sense. So it definitely begs the question of, well, if it was a cyber attack, they did it in the perfect place to do it. I've never heard a story of a ship losing control like this and completely taking out a bridge, especially one that's in a, like, near a port. All these things, it's very interesting. I'm going to be interested to see how this develops. And I think this kind of relates into, well, let me get into the next piece of it. Because this is important too, is that Biden came out very quickly and he decided to say that the federal government will pay to repair this entire bridge, that they will foot the entire bill. Why? That doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make sense that the federal government should pay for this. I mean, and if they are, why are they paying for this one and not for what happened in East Palestine, Ohio? Why are they not paying for what's in the Flint water system? I mean, why are they not going to pay to fix those things? And I'm not advocating that they should fix those things. I don't think that they should. Now, we're getting into my opinion now a little bit. But I find it very fascinating that that's what we're coming out and officially saying so quickly. He's going to urge Congress to pass spending bills. Yeah, because we need to spend more money right now. That's exactly the state of our economy, is to spend more money. We found a great reason here to increase pricing of food, and then we're going to spend more money just to waste, to cause more inflation. So what I see, the big thing that I see from this, right, now speaking as a representative, as a congressman, what I see is that this highlights the interconnectivity of all of our systems, right? We're so heavily dependent on so many different countries, so many different things going right. And I'm hopefully going to release my podcast soon with AJ Richards, where we talk about that, but the supply chain issues, we need to have a decoupling. And I see this in the US government stepping in and saying that they're going to pay for all of this. It's like, what is the insurance company not going to pay for any of this? And again, I don't know the legal work in regards to, like, if the bridge gets insurance, I don't know. I know that there's definitely going to be insurance on the cargo ship and all the cargo that has, all of that is 100% insured. So that should pay something, but they're not going to pay anything. I'd be interested to see who that insurance company is. Is that a funder? Is that a lobbyist? Just proposing a question. I don't know the answer to that. But getting back into being a congressman, kind of slid down there a little bit into my reporting slash forward questions. It's just questions, guys. Just questions that I would ask if I was in this position. And what I'm seeing here, right, is this decoupling. We need to decouple our system. We're all almost too interconnected. Why should a problem that happens in the Baltimore Harbor affect food prices in Pittsburgh? I mean, they are pretty close, but if we're thinking about it, and this is kind of me talking about my platform, this honestly, in my opinion, gives a great advocacy for local regenerative farming. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, we should help and support them to the best of our abilities. And what I'm seeing, though, is that me getting hurt in Pittsburgh in the 17th district by food prices increasing, by inflation now, because our government thinks that it's a federal responsibility to take care of this, which is a big issue, in my opinion. This is not what the U.S. government was designed for, to rebuild bridges after they collapsed in a city. That's not the responsibility of the U.S. government, of the federal government. The president should not be urging Congress to pass legislation to spend federal dollars on this bridge. So again, we should do our best to give them the support they need, if they need more support, if they need money. But for that to be the first interaction, the first, the first tick is I don't know, to me, something feels off about that. It doesn't make sense to me that taxpayers in Alaska should have to pay for that. People in Hawaii shouldn't have to pay for what's going on in Baltimore. That doesn't make sense to me. And again, I see this as an overstepping of control. The federal government wants more control. We have to prevent the federal government from getting more control. And quite frankly, we need to reduce the amount of control and influence the federal government has on our own life. That's the whole point of the power being in the people, being we the people. That was the entire antithesis of the Constitution and our Declaration of Independence, was the people are the ones who should have the power and not in the hands of the federal government. And I just see this as setting precedent for the government being able to step in and say, oh, we need to pay for this. But then why aren't we paying? Why is there no incentive to heal East Palestine, Ohio? Why is there no incentive to heal the Flint water supply? It just doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. But I do think moving forward, what I would say, and what I am saying, I guess, in a position of authority, if I was proposed with this bill, it's like, no, this should not be something that the federal government pays for. This is something for the insurance companies to pay for, to figure out. If they need assistance, if they need labor and support, we could send some. But honestly, we have so many people on welfare or unemployment, I guess welfare, but I'm talking about specifically about unemployment. Why don't we give them a job to help clean this up? Why are we paying people to just sit around? Let's give them a job. if we could just pay them, keep paying them. You're unemployed, sure. But majority of those people want a job. So let's give them the job to clean up this mess now. I think a lot of them, well-trained, I don't know all the, again, and now here's where my ignorance plays in. And so I would need to talk with people who are a part of this construction, all of that is like, can you just train people up on how to fix this? Is that possible? And if not, then we should have a reserve ready to, ready to fix these sort of problems, because we're paying them anyhow. We should at least be training them, giving them education in order to be able to solve these issues. So I just see this as a huge, massive overstep of the federal government. And it doesn't make sense to me that this is the first thing. And I think the other deeper thing here is our interconnectivity. We need to decouple. We need to have our economy, let's say in Pittsburgh, we need to have our farmers supplying local food. We don't want it to be even shipped. It doesn't make sense to me. And this would be a perfect example of why we should not be relying on foreign countries to supply us with different food, with different, you name it, honestly. Excuse me, but it doesn't make sense to me. So hopefully it's going to be very fascinating to see how this plays out. I would definitely keep an eye on the whole money situation of it, because when money gets involved, that's where it gets very fascinating. So keep your eyes on the money. I'd be interested to see if this was a cyber attack. And, you know, I don't know. It's just mind-boggling to me. Wonder if you guys feel the same way. But it's just, it's mind-blowing to me that federal dollars should not be being spent on something like this. Should not be. And if they are, then we should be having a conversation about Flint and East Palestine. But, of course, we're not. So, you know, it just doesn't add up. You know how whenever, like, you kind of get that knot in your stomach and you're just like, something's off. Why here and not there? That's how this makes me feel. That's how this entire situation makes me feel. So hopefully everyone in Baltimore is able to get this patched up. Hopefully we're able to get it healed rather quickly. It'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. And I don't know. I don't really think I have too much more to add to that. So I appreciate all of you guys for listening in to my ramble. And I guess I can safely say the legislation that's coming down the rabbit hole, we'll see how it turns out. But my initial gut reaction is that I would probably not vote for it. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because I'm going to represent the people of Pittsburgh, right? I'm going to represent the 17th district, which is Beaver County and North Allegheny County. And I don't see how their federal dollars going to this helps them. I don't see how it supports them. I suppose, and here, I'll give you this, here's the argument for it. The argument that it would be for these people is because this, what are we calling it? This harbor, the food supply would probably be coming through our area. See, I don't know that. See, this would be a good question to actually find out. Of course, again, I'm kind of giving you guys a gut reaction. So like this would be you're kind of getting in my head. You're in my mental procedure of like how I would deviate or deal with this problem, right? Like I would look at what was on this truck, like train. Is this food going to be coming up through Pennsylvania to Pittsburgh? Is it going to hurt our costs in Beaver County and Allegheny County? And even more so, I would be pushing the agenda or the initiative. Agenda is a weird word, but my initiative would be more with like local regenerative farming. If we have more local regenerative farming, this is no longer an issue for Pittsburgh, at least, right? And quite frankly, the way I see it, we would might maybe even have an abundance of food that we'd be able to send to people in Baltimore to prevent them from getting their costs rising in regards to groceries and food, as it has been for the last however many years, but rapidly in the last 4 or 5. So I think it's a bad idea to spend more. We don't have money to do this at a federal level, and yet they still want to spend money. I think that this is a highlight of decoupling our whole situation, our entire interconnectivity of everything. We need to decouple. It's not that we don't need to support each other. Don't get me wrong. We do need to support each other, but there's too much power at the top, and it needs to be spread out and disseminated more at the bottom. Give you, the people, more control over what you want to put in your body, where you want it to come from. And don't get me wrong. If you want to go buy stuff from, you know, Chile that's pumped up, and you want to buy, you know, fruits and mangoes that are, you know, have a bunch of chemicals in them, that you should have the freedom to do that. Don't get me wrong. But I do think that there needs to be at least a balance in the ability to choose. And right now we don't have the ability to choose. And anyone who wants to look at, I think it was Amos Farms, they're in Pennsylvania, they're going to town on this. They're having an entire court battle right now because people, the FDA, I believe, tells them that they can't have clean food. The Amish farmer who set up this community of about 4,000 people, he's not allowed to have clean food. He has to spray it with all these chemicals and pesticides for him to sell it to these people. And that's horrendous, in my opinion. That's where all of this is, the intention. It seems like that's where the intention of all of this is, to get us off of natural food, to get us into synthetic foods. And so we need to start providing chemical-free food to our communities. Otherwise, our bodies are just going to be more and more malnourished. I'm sure there was a viral picture the other day going around of people on a beach in like the 70s. Everyone looks good. Everyone looks great. But then over time, here we are moving into this new era where it's just not looking good, man. And I don't I hope this doesn't come across as me blaming anyone. I think this is primarily the fault of incentives being going, and we have corporations who go out and prosecute, like this Amish farm, those who want to be healthy and live in tune with nature. And at the end of the day, that's what American Congress Party is all about, is getting us back in tune with nature. So with all that being said, I know it's an earful right now, but I think this is so important. And I feel like this highlights the issues that we are facing, and at least that I want to push forward and make a national case for: local regenerative farming, decoupling from it, stop government spending. All these things are wrapped up perfectly in this tragedy. So with all that being said, I hope you guys appreciated this episode, unintended episode of me rambling and figuring out stuff on the fly. And if not, that's cool too. That's cool too. I appreciate your opinion. Thank you for at least listening to this point. With all of that being said, I think you are all beautiful, amazing souls. And with that being said, I will talk to all of you when we see each other in the sixth dimension.